Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's segment of Live Without Limits. Today's show is talking today's show is titled Overcome All Your Fears of Selling. And this is the biggest thing that people have is a fear of selling. This is why they don't always go into selling. So that is why I want to concentrate on that. And what we're going to do today is talk about the 8 steps to overcome all your fears of selling. And what we will do is we'll help you. We'll go through and talk about what are the fears of selling and how you can overcome them. I want you to think about all the problems you solve for yourself, your clients, and the results you achieve for them. You know that if clients really knew about their results and what you could do for them, they would buy your services. If only you didn't have to go through the process of selling your services. Selling your services is something you're not comfortable with at all. You feel very unnatural when you are trying to sell your services. You don't like selling. You don't like the idea of being seen as a salesperson. You see selling as an unnecessary evil and something you wish you didn't have to do. All in all, you have a lot of unease and fears about selling. What impact is your fear of selling having on your business? Your fears and unease around selling are no doubt holding you back from having the conversation with potential clients. Or if you are having these conversations, you can feel your fears negatively impact your conversation and the result. Just imagine if all your fears around selling were eliminated. I invite you to think about this for a minute. How would having no fears of selling make you feel? What difference would that make to your business? Would you feel more confident and relaxed? Would you speak to more people about what you have to offer? Do you think you would attract more clients? The question then is, how do you overcome your fears of selling? I am about to show you a simple 8-step process for overcoming all your fears of selling. My promise to you is that if you adopt these 8 steps, your fears of selling your services will be reduced and even eliminated. Let's get going. Step one, list all your fears of selling. When you're about to take a potential client about your services, what fears come up for you? On the list below, quickly tick the fears that apply to you. This list was created from the fears mentioned by those who have attended the numerous teleseminars I have given on this topic. Don't think too much about each item, but tick it if you feel you do have that fear, even on occasion. There is no right or wrong answer. It is very important that you do this exercise now so that you have a record of your fears at this point in time. You will then be able to see how your fears have been reduced or even eliminated at the end of the 8 steps. Fear of rejection, fear of imposing, fear of not being good enough, fear of cold calling, fear of mentioning the price, fear of no, fear of failure, fear of succeeding and then needing to deliver, fear of being seen as a salesperson, fear of poor communication, fear of not being listened to, fear of not being able to establish rapport, fear of being thought of as pushy, fear of not communicating, fear of forgetting all the things I need to say, fear of not being convincing, fear of being seen as needy, fear of not doing it the right way, fear of being found out, imposter syndrome, fear of making a mistake, fear of people thinking I am trying to sell them something. Whoa. Now, let's get back to what we were doing. Fear of making a mistake, fear of people thinking I am trying to sell them something, fear of people not understanding what I am saying, fear of not being able to being clear about what my offer is, fear of talking too quickly, fear of looking stupid, fear of making money, fear of them getting angry or frustrated, fear of bringing up money, fear of asking for referrals, fear of being salesy, fear of not being able to articulate myself properly, fear of underselling myself, fear of asking for the business, fear of selling myself, fear of people not liking me, fear of people avoiding me, fear of losing friends, fear of self-sabotage, fear of not getting my value across, fear of saying the wrong thing, fear of not doing it right, fear of not being able to answer questions, fear of tripping over myself, fear of being seen as incompetent, fear of them, whoa, thinking I am desperate, fear of talking about the price and people not seeing the value, fear of not being heard, fear of being tongue-tied, fear of a negative reaction, fear of forgetting all the things I need to say, fear of people thinking I think they need help, fear of how people are getting to react to the price, fear of people thinking I am bragging, fear of disapproval, fear of not looking expert enough, fear of asking for money, fear of judgment, fear of not being any good, fear of not being able to answer questions, fear of customer asking for the price only, fear of people being rude, fear of bothering people. Have you ticked the fears that apply to you? Please do this before proceeding so that you will gain the most value from following the steps. Now that you have a list of your fears, just look at them and acknowledge them. Don't judge them or fight them. The fears are not right or wrong. Some of you have fears that definitely serve you. They keep you safe, and they're useful. The emotion of fear is just nature's way of protecting you and keeping you safe from physical harm. Fear is an innate program that protects you from venturing too far from the nest and getting hurt. For example, your natural fear would protect you by making you extremely fearful of jumping out of an airplane, even if you had a parachute on. You would be quite thankful for the natural fear as it keeps you safe. On the other hand, there are fears that are imposters. These imposter fears are false evidence appearing real. These fears do not serve you and keep you safe. These imposters hold you back from achieving what you want, even if you know how and what to do. The imposter telling you these fears is your chatterbox, the little voice in your head. Think of your chatterbox being on the mission to hold you back from achieving what you want. Think of your chatterbox as holding you back from selling your services. To achieve its mission of holding you back, your chatterbox will continually tell you to be careful and fearful, and it's all doom and gloom. Sound familiar? Here's another way to look at it. Say you have people around you that have constantly told you, you can't sell, you can't succeed, you know, all the can't. That what happens is if you've heard them enough, that eventually you're hearing them in your head over and over again to the point that you are holding yourself up. back. And that is what we're talking about, your chatterbox. When I asked you what your fears were, it was your chatterbox that gave most of the answers. We will, in fact, be aiming to disarm your chatterbox when it comes to selling your services. The objective is to have you in control and not your chatterbox. Know that you can be yourself and sell successfully at the same time. I think most of us don't want to act like or be thought of as acting like a pushy used car salesman like the guy in the picture above. Well, think about it. Remember the pictures on TV when they would advertise and they were trying to get you to come down, and they were often putting deals up, and the guy was telling you about how you had all these great deals, and how you just had to come down? Well, that is what we're talking about, is that when you see yourself as being pushy, you're seeing yourself as that car salesman. I'd like you to be really negative about this used car salesman and think of all the negative attributes you can to describe him. Have a look at his picture, and in the list below, pick which words you think apply to the stereotypical salesman. Manipulative, pushy, aggressive, dishonest, deceptive, con artist, shady, shallow, loud, doesn't listen, untruthful, arrogant, attached, won't take no, and crouching, in it for the money only, fake and phony, has his own best interest at heart, knows it all, rude, selling things I don't want, obnoxious, sleazy, slimy. And how many times have we heard other people describe that and say those things to the point that we honestly see that in our head about ourselves? So it's how do you reprogram your thought processes to gain self-confidence in yourself? Just imagine, heaven forbid, that you're acting like this used car salesman when you talk to a potential client. Just imagine you're being pushy, salesy, manipulative, slimy, obnoxious. How do you feel? Now, imagine that this used car salesman is trying to sell you a car. He is being pushy, salesy, manipulative, slimy, obnoxious. How does that make you feel? Do you want to run away as quickly as possible? A lot of people have a perception that to be successful in selling, you need to be pushy or manipulative. A lot of people believe this. I hope that with this example, you can see that the opposite is in fact true. If you are like this, you will in fact push people away from you, and fast. Now, think of who you are in your own attributes and qualities. Imagine a client is speaking to someone about you. How would you like them to describe you? In the list below, pick the words that apply. Honest, open, trustworthy, appreciative, enthusiastic, authentic, high integrity, caring, truthful, sincere, facilitating, understanding, informative, a good listener, giving, generous, committed, fun, helpful, educating, warm-friendly, professional, passionate, enthusiastic, compassionate. Imagine that you are being yourself and showing these attributes and qualities when you talk to a potential client. You are being open and honest and caring. How do you feel? Authentic, relaxed, confident. If you are being like this when you are talking to a potential client, how do you think the potential client will feel? At ease, relaxed, attracted to you? A lot of people selling could be described by all of these negative words you have ticked to describe the stereotypical salesperson. It is definitely true that there are a lot of manipulative, pushy, aggressive people out there selling. No question about that. What is also true is that there are a lot of open, honest, authentic people out there selling, and they are the ones who are more successful at selling. Be open, honest, authentic. Be like this, and you will dramatically increase your success at selling your services and attracting clients. Be true to your own values when you are selling your services. Be yourself. Just choose to be the authentic, natural you when you're talking to someone about your services. Selling will then be less stressful. You'll be a lot more relaxed, and you will also be a lot less fearful of it. It's really that simple. Get really clear on the results you achieve for your clients. I want you to think about all the problems you solve for your clients and the results you achieve for them. Think about the difference you make in their lives or their business as a result of your service. Why is it important to understand? To understand the results you achieve for your clients for two reasons. The first reason you want to understand the results is that these results are what people buy from you. People do not buy your service. No one buys coaching. No one buys consulting. No one buys financial planning. Your service is simply the tool or method you use to deliver results. For more detail on this, please read the article, Don't Sell Your Services, That's Not What People Buy, which is in the back issue. Okay. The second reason you want to understand the results you achieve for your clients is that as you get clearer and clearer on these results, your passion will grow. As your passion grows, so does your energy and your confidence. You will find yourself speaking from your heart and not from your head. As you speak from your heart, your fears will be reduced. What are the results you achieve for your clients? What are you really passionate about delivering these results? If you aren't clear about the results you achieve, spend the time to find them out. I suggest you ask some past clients about the results you have achieved from them and how they are better off. It takes a bit of work to get clear on the results you produce, but I can assure you, it's well worth the time. The clearer you are, the less fears you will have when you are selling your services. Know that selling is a conversation. How do you define selling? A lot of people define selling as persuading, convincing people to buy things that they may or may not want or need. They see selling as closing a deal. If you think of selling like that, it's not very empowering to you. Frankly, if you have this perspective on selling, it would be no wonder if you hated it and also feared it. The question then is, what perspective can you try on about selling that will make you excited about it and not be fearful of it? In step three, I asked you to determine the results you achieve for your clients, to try on the perspective. Selling is a conversation, the intent of which is to find out if someone wants the results I produce. Also, in step three, I asked you if you were passionate about achieving these results. I certainly hope you are passionate about achieving these results. Otherwise, I would ask you to seriously consider why you are in this particular business. Assuming you are passionate about achieving these results for your clients, then selling is just a conversation about what you are passionate about. So try on the perspective. Selling is a conversation about my passion. As a result of your conversation, a decision will be made by your potential client if they want the results you deliver and if they want them delivered by you. If you are passionate about the results you achieve for your clients and you know that your clients will be much better off then don't you have an obligation to have as many sales conversations as possible with people so you can help as many people as possible? If you're not having sales conversations, you are holding back the gift you have to offer people. You are withholding. You owe it to people to be there for them with your expertise, wisdom, and the results you deliver. Next time you're talking to potential clients, forget about trying to sell them something. Just have a conversation about your passion. Just have a conversation to find out if they want the results you produce. How does this perspective on selling make you feel? Note that everyone is not a potential client. And this is a biggie, because in network marketing, they teach you that if you see someone in the three-foot rule, that you talk to them and you approach them. But it doesn't matter what product you're selling, whether you're selling a service or a product or whatever. Certain people are your natural client, and certain people will not be. So it's recognizing all of this and realizing that if you are passionate about your topic, but you are gearing it to who is your natural client, then you're going to increase your sales. I do hope you have a target market that you are focusing on. You will be a lot more successful if you have this in focus. Remember, even in your target market, not everyone is a potential client. Why would someone not be a potential client in your target market? Or when could a no be a totally wild response from someone? Sometimes having no money is used as an excuse, but there are definitely times when someone really does not have the money for your service, and a no is then a totally valid response. In these cases, the sooner you know this, the better it is for both of you. Some people simply do not have a need for the results you produce. As an example, suppose you sell a service which helps people build sufficient funds to pay for their children's college fees. This would be of interest to people who have children, but for someone who has no children, there would be no need for such a service, and hence, no is a perfectly valid response. Just suppose that it's clear that the person you're talking to clearly wants the results you produce, but they are just about to get married and go on a honeymoon for 2 months. So right now, their priority is getting married and going on a honeymoon. So a no, now, not now, is totally valid. It's a no, not now, because they have higher priorities at this time. When you receive a no, not now response, it is important to have a mechanism so you can keep in touch with the potential client. You should also agree with them on when to follow up again. Have you noticed that some people are very attached to their problems, and even though they could solve them, they don't want to? Their problems are part of who they are. Their problems are their identity. The last thing they want to do is solve them. So a no is, again, a totally valid response. And the sooner you can find it out, the better it is for both of you. You don't have the expertise or skills in the areas they want. It makes sense that if you don't have the correct expertise and skills to deliver the results they want, then a no is, again, a totally wild response. If you look back at some recent conversations with potential clients that have said no to you, can you now see that in some cases their no was a totally valid and understandable response? I hope you can see that there are perfectly valid reasons for someone to say no, and that as they say absolutely nothing about you and your products and services. In these particular situations, a no is a totally valid response to overcome from the conversation. In fact, I encourage you to be in active search of a valid no when you're talking to a potential client, and welcome them when you find them. The sooner you find a valid no, the better it is for both of you, as you will save each other a lot of time. If you have this approach that a no is totally understandable and welcome in certain circumstances, how does this make you feel? If you have the approach that a no is totally understandable and welcome in certain circumstances, how will this make the person you are talking to feel? Just like someone you can say no to, you can also say no to them. Can you think of a situation when you might say no to a potential client? When might you say no? Have you ever talked to a potential client and there was something about them that set off a warning bell in your head, but you ignored the warning bell and they became your client and you have been regretting it ever since? The warning bell was you telling yourself that you're not going to be able to work well with this person. There is something about this person that does not make them your ideal client, and you know in your heart that you can't offer them your best service. You know you're not at your best with this type of client. The thing to do when your warning bell goes off, or if the person doesn't fit your ideal client criteria, is to say no to them, and if you can, refer them to someone you know who can work well with them. How does it make you feel knowing that there are times when you should be saying no? That's it. Imagine you're about to talk to a potential client and you have the perspective that failure is a bad thing. What sort of impact does that have on you, and how can you come across? The massive failures. Let's look at the massive failures. Thomas Edison failed over 3,000 times to develop the light bulb. 3,000. Abraham Lincoln was defeated in 9 elections before he finally won one and went on to become one of America's greatest presidents. 9 elections. J.K. Rowling of Harry Potter fame was turned down by numerous publishers, but she never let that failure stop her. And now, apparently, there's over a quarter of a billion Harry Potter books in print, which is incredible. You would not want to be one of those publishers that turned her down, would you? Step 7, learn how to have a sales conversation. And this, my friends, is a biggie. Selling is a process, and it needs to be learned. Remember back in the day, you started to learn to ride a bicycle? You were no doubt somewhat nervous and afraid of falling off and hurting yourself. This is all understandable and nature's way of protecting you from keeping you safe. So, when you think about it, all of these things play into who we are today. Finally, review your fears in step 1 in light of steps 2-7. Now, look at each of the fears you check. Okay, for each of these fears, ask yourself how your perspective has changed after you have been through all the other steps. Suppose one of your fears was the fear of rejection. How does your fear of rejection look now that you've been through these steps? Which step was particularly helpful in changing your fears? Okay, and remember, what I would like you to do is go to my website, and that website is the number 1, personalcareercoach.com, and there you can sign up for personal coaching, and we can help you understand how your fears keep you from succeeding. And as we do that, we will also help you learn to build your personal self-confidence in yourself and in your feelings of being able to succeed at all of the things you choose to do in your personal life and business.